Talk about pressure. We're going to talk today on Head Games with Luke Jensen about the Davis Cup, playing Davis Cup with everybody screaming, spitting at you. Talk about how the U.S. dominated Czechoslovakia and goes on to play in North Carolina and maybe get some revenge against Spain and Rafael Nadal on regular courts, not those very slow red clay courts. Later in the show, we're going to have Rick Bucher talking about the NBA and the snubs in the All-Star game and Carmelo and what that's about and who he thinks are playing the best. Maybe the Houston team is playing just a little bit better without Yao, why that is happening. And we'll finish with Hall of Famer Steve Largent, one of the classiest people I've ever met in sports, former congressman, talking about winning and losing, losing the governor race in Oklahoma and how difficult it was to come back from that. And now he's in ultra-competitiveness as the head of the association, has to do with all cell phones. Everybody can relate to that, I think. Here's Nick Swisher from Thursday's show, though, about baseball and how the A's really did finish pretty strong.
I don't know. I mean, I just think, you know, we kind of lost some momentum going into the Detroit series. We had those 3 or 4 days off, and I think the same thing happened to us that happened to Detroit in the World Series. You know, if you look at the Cardinals, they just kept playing every day, man. They just kept going through and through. And ended up keeping that momentum and ended up getting, you know, ultimately, you know, winning the World Series. But, I mean, 4 games away from the World Series ain't too shabby. I mean, everybody thought as soon as we got to the, you know, the playoffs, we faced Minnesota, everybody thought we were going to get swept. And we went out and did the opposite of what everyone thought. And I think that's one of the things we take a lot of pride in is we're the underdogs. People look at us and they never think we're going to do well, you know, by looking at us on paper. And then we ended up going out and having a heck of a year last year. But saying missing something, I don't think we were missing anything. I just think, you know, the timing wasn't right. We went into a blazing hot team in Tigers and they ended up putting it to us.
Watch for Nick Swisher this year and the Oakland A's. When we come back, Luke Jensen about Andy Roddick 8-0 in big championship matches in the Davis Cup. Maybe that shows a little bit more about him and maybe the fact that he can come back and find a way to beat Roger Federer and get back up in that top ranking. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. It's going to be a great show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
North Star Tahoe is California's top-rated family mountain resort with a variety of activities, including skiing and snowboarding, tubing, award-winning terrain parks, cross-country, and offers on-site lodging accommodations. Check out the new $10 million in mountain improvements, including a new six-pack express chairlift, 60 new acres of new terrain, and the new village with a variety of shops, restaurants, and an ice skating rink. Details at northstaratahoe.com or 1-800-GO-NORTH.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
I'm Dave Meltzer, host of the Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. And if you're a fan of pro wrestling and want to know what's happening before anybody else, you should subscribe to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. It comes out every week and it covers wrestling all over the world. The biggest names in pro wrestling and the most knowledgeable fans all subscribe to it as the leading source of inside information anywhere. Just go to www.wrestlingobserver.com and there's information on how to get a subscription. If you go to the website right now, you can even get information on how to get a couple of free issues of your choice. So go to www.wrestlingobserver.com.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendinitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other healthful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendonitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo.
We know who's selling drugs in our community, but we never say anything to them. And if a white guy was to come into our community and sell drugs, we'd probably kill him.
Welcome back with Luke Jensen. Luke, I thought you'd have a little fun listening to this. This is Nick Swisher talking about different ways to train. And here's a baseball player.
I started doing the Bikram yoga. And that's, you know, when you
Bikram
go
yoga, that's hot yoga, right?
Yeah, that's when it's like 110 degrees and you're in there for 90 minutes. And you want to talk about it, just a total body detox of everything. Not only that, but making sure...
And you need that.
Exactly. And, you know, also, you know, just going in there, making sure that your body stays loose and limber, because regardless of how strong you are, I mean, you look at bodybuilders, these guys can't go out there and swing a baseball bat.
That's Nick Swisher. I just thinking... He reminds me a lot of you, Luke Jensen. They talk about training and getting ready for the pressured moments. And what about that? Bikram yoga.
I've done hot yoga. It's fantastic. 90 minutes. You can't leave the studio. If you leave the studio even to go to the bathroom, you return to class. It's a very controlled, intense environment. You can't talk. You're deep in concentration trying to reach a new level of both calmness spiritually, and then obviously working out the different body parts, trying to get it limber. One thing we did today at Syracuse, the football team during the off season, they practice 3 days a week on their conditioning and agility.
Right.
At 5:30 in the morning, and I took the entire team to practice this morning just to watch half of that agility before we got out into our conditioning, just to show the intensity of about 100 players. Level of commitment, even during the season. And it really helped my team get focused on where the motivation needs to be to become better.
We're talking with Luke Jensen, one of the best people covering tennis, and I mean it. And we got another quote from Herman Edwards about what you're trying to do there at Syracuse. For those that are interested in how you turn around a losing into a winning climate, here's Herman Edwards from Thursday's show.
Here, but we talked about those good times and how hard it was in the beginning to change people's attitudes, because we all believe the same thing. It's your attitude really kind of dictates where you're going to go in life. And I think if you have a positive attitude and you look at things that way, you can be successful a lot quicker than the other way.
Herman Edwards trying to turn around in Tampa Bay, and the lessons from working with a guy named Tony Dungy and, of course, Lovie Smith. What other big challenges are you finding? How quickly do you think you can turn it around there?
Well, you know, I'm not really sure on the timetable. We've got lots of players on the team that are talented, but, you know, we played a Buffalo team that was coming into our place, was very hungry. We got up 3-0, and it's the first of 4 points.
All we needed was one more point.
And they went and won 4 straight points on us, and we just didn't throw down the hammer. We had a bunch of young players out there that were afraid. They saw about 1,000 people in the stands. They'd never seen that many people at a tennis match before, and, you know, they started locking up at the controls and, you know, just convincing them, listen, do what you do in practice. Believe in your training. Believe in yourself. Enjoy the moment. The worst thing that can happen is a loss, but never be afraid to get after it, try, and succeed.
That sounds exactly like the kind of attitude that Jimmy Connors is beginning to instill in Andy Roddick, who is now 8-0, Luke, in Davis Cup matches with victory on the line.
Yeah, it's great, and because you have to have a nose for the finish line. when I watched this weekend, the Davis Cup really kind of played out the way we talked about last week. Andy Roddick and James Blake, the Bryant brothers, on paper were the team. But sometimes when you play an away match in a hostile environment, so many things can go wrong. But if you stick to, you know, your talent base, stick to your game plan, and Jimmy Connors, Captain Patrick McEnroe on the sideline for the U.S. Davis Cup team, has, you know, Andy Roddick playing well, has the Bryant brothers playing well, and they move on to the quarterfinals to play against Spain.
Hey, why don't they have Jimmy Connors as the head rather than McEnroe? Tell me the difference between the two.
Well, John McEnroe was the captain a couple of years ago, and just the responsibility. I think Jimmy Connors maybe one day will be the Davis Cup captain. He did play a little bit as a player, but he didn't really improve. Like John McEnroe and a bunch of other players of his day, the team concept. Maybe that can turn around since Connors now is more of a coach rather than a player.
But it's working for his brother as well. And give me a little bit more about the Bryant brothers and just the overall team. Now they're heading to Winston-Salem in April playing Spain and Rafael Nadal, but this time it won't be on that ultra-slow red clay.
More than I do, yeah. Winston-Salem's going to host in their basketball arena down there. It's going not basketball time, it's going to be tennis time down there. And it's the place where Andy Roddick set the world record for his fastest serve at 155 miles an hour.
Uh-oh.
It's a fast track, which means Andy Roddick, James Blake, it suits our style of play, which is a fast indoor facility where we can just let it all hang out.
Okay, let's switch over to the Federation Cup. And Serena is going to join her sister playing on that. Tell the listeners about the Federation Cup and what it's all about.
Fed Cup is the opposite of the Davis Cup. Davis Cup is the basically, you know, our team competition in the United States, throughout the world in tennis. And then the Fed Cup is its sister. And, you know, Chris Evert, Navratilova, Tracy Austin, the best in the history of the game have represented the United States in Fed Cup play. Now having Serena and Venus play for the United States is just a huge boost for U.S. confidence. And we've kind of taken a hit the last few years. Both Venus and Serena healthy, we're the best team.
All right, so it looks to me like things are setting up reasonably well against Spain, but every single time the Davis Cup comes around, the U.S. has had issues. When's the last time we won this?
Oh, we won it last in 1995. Captain Tom Gullickson was on the sideline with Pete Sampras playing, and you know, Pete, that was 95. And so we have to do better. We've been in the finals. We've been in the semis just last year, but it's finishing. It's closing the door. Davis Cup and Fed Cup is a year-long competition. It's not like 1 week or 1 month. You know, we won't play again until maybe end of March, early April against Spain. So you're looking at, you know, a very long period of time where players have to stay healthy, they have to continue to train, and they have to believe.
Luke, I really like what you had to say on Friday.
I was a kid in the 70s all the way through. It seems when I grew up and we grew up, when you cheered for your team, it was to support your team. And I don't know where along the way it became you were there to distract the opponent. You were there to try to throw them off their game. And you know,
look at college basketball.
That basketball, you know, and they're waving their hands and things. I don't know if that crosses the line of bad taste and bad sportsmanship. You know, I played in some hostile environments in the game of tennis, and I knew what I was stepping into. And my greatest moment as a tennis player was when I faltered as a USC Trojan. We were undefeated at the time, and it came down to my two matches, and I kind of fell down to the pressure. And
so tell us again about that, because I think in our last 2 minutes in this segment with you, what it is, whether it's the heat of the competition in college, those lessons still apply for a lifetime, even at the highest level in the pros.
Yeah, we had a great show last Friday. We had some great guests, and I just, you know, even think about, you know, when I'm on the court coaching and playing, talking about how you deal with adversity and where you go from adversity. What do you do with a loss? And we're going to be dealing with that today at Syracuse for practice, because we had tremendous opportunity to stay nationally ranked. We played a local team, a fellow New York team, a rival, in-state rival in Buffalo University. We had them by the throat. We let them go. Well, where do we go from here? And I think taking adverse situations, whether it's from a practice, a personal life situation, working the problem, working hard. The only way we're going to get better is not by talking about it, by getting down and harder and harder at our trade. And in tennis, you got to hit more tennis balls, we got to get faster, we got to get leaner and meaner. If we do that, we'll succeed.
I can't imagine you looking meaner, brother, but thanks for joining us, man. Let's check in with you maybe towards the end of the week or early next week, and we're going to keep following Luke Jensen and not only what's happening in tennis on the world stage, but also how he's turning around the Syracuse team. It's a great lesson for all of us trying to turn it around. Thanks, buddy.
Game on, Nick. Game on.
Game on. Rick Bucher, NBA's best. Are you with us?
I am.
Buddy, when we come back, let's shift to the NBA. Let's first start off by talking about the snubs in the NBA and the whole process of selection. And then let's talk also and inform some of the people about the whole idea of defense. You're listening to Head Games Radio, and our special guest coming up, Rick Bucher from ESPN, the magazine, on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASE also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASE can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASE now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Chances are, you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM, 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. Deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and there's a bonus. If you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
One of his biggest lasting legacies, certainly, you know, globalization is the big deal to him. He wants this to be a worldwide brand. You know, soccer happens to be my favorite sport besides the NBA, and you know, that's certainly a global game where it's actually much bigger everywhere else but the United States. But I'd say the NBA is right there with it. It's, you know, you can't really say closing the gap, but it definitely has a global presence and kind of models itself after soccer. I know that is important to Stern, that his
Well, that was an interview with Mark Stein from ESPN, the magazine, ESPN.com. We're joined by our good friend Rick Bucher, who is a regular, let's make sure everybody knows, a regular on this show. How are you, Rick?
Thank you. Thank you for that acknowledgement.
Hey, we are very lucky to have you.
I'm well.
What's your comment on that? David Stern and making it a global sport. What are the possibilities of the NBA becoming a global league, looking at the difficulty the NFL has had to export it to Europe, for instance?
I wouldn't compare it to the NFL because football, American
sport.
Football simply has is not something that is bred in to the sporting life of other teams or other countries. Rather, I'm being paged by my little 2-year-old swimmer Maddie, whose shoe has come off, and he has Oreo around all over his face. It's a tragedy. Anyway,
you're the commissioner for him.
As far as I know. As far as his the world situation, basketball is in a lot of places number two sport in a lot of countries. So making that switch for the NBA is certainly easier than for the NFL. Quite honestly, it's the only place that they have to grow because they've saturated and tapped out this market. And David Stern is nothing if not a great marketer and a great businessman. So it makes all the sense in the world. It's much easier to export. The challenge is that it used to be that U.S. basketball and the NBA was considered the best talent in the world. And because of our travails in the international game of late, that is taking a bit of a hit. Now, it remains to be seen whether that's going to impact the marketability of the NBA across the globe.
Talking with Rick Bucher from ESPN, the magazine, the ESPN's regular correspondent on the NBA. Let's talk about the selection process. We had the NFL All-Star Game, certainly such a chance for injury in the NFL, and you saw actually top quarterback Drew Brees hurting his elbow, out for 2 months because of that. Of course, that's after the season, but still, it says a lot about the ambivalence that teams and players have to playing in it. But before we get to that, let's talk about the selection process itself and how you think it might be improved.
Well, I don't know if you necessarily, for me, you have to do it one of two ways. You either make it a full-blown popularity contest, which is how the first five spots are decided, because it's by fan vote, and you acknowledge that this is just a popularity contest. You make it the players that the public wants to see in a mid-season exhibition, and you don't attach the idea that these are the best players in the league at this given time, because quite clearly they're not. Shaquille O'Neal, as good as he's been in the past, was not the best center in the league this year, and yet he was the number one vote getter among centers in the Eastern Conference. So there's always going to be that dichotomy, and but on the flip side, you have the coaches selecting the reserves, and that should be based on the guys who are having the best season. So my feeling is you should go one way or the other. You either make it a legitimate selection all the way around, whether it's having the players select them, whether it's having the coaches select them, whether it's having a panel of media select them, or a combination. Either do that or just widen it, make it all fan voting and go that direction. Because right now it's a mixed bag and people get a little confused over exactly what sort of excellence to attach to all-star credibility, and as it stands, see, you've got two different ways of selecting an all-star, and that's where the confusion starts.
Rick, how big a surprise was it to you? How bizarre was it to you that Carmelo initially was left off?
I was astonished because initially when he received the 15-game suspension, I thought, that's the end of his chances of being selected as an all-star, because the coaches, by and large, use this not simply to recognize the players who are playing the best this season, but they also use it as a carrot for guys that they feel are upstanding citizens and play the right way. It's why Dennis Rodman and Rasheed Wallace have not been perennial. Rodman was not a perennial All-Star. Rasheed Wallace has not been a perennial All-Star, even though, based on talent, those guys certainly should have been there more than they have been. So it's always been that sort of a carrot. But at the time, I had a chance to talk to Carmelo, and he felt confident that he was still going to make it. And I called some coaches, and I only spoke to three or four of them, but they all said they didn't think that the suspension would get in the way, that they didn't look at the incident in Madison Square Garden as being that much of a black mark against him. So when he wasn't selected, I was absolutely surprised. This would have been the first time in the history of the NBA that the leading scorer in the league was not selected as an All-Star. And obviously David Stern has corrected the oversight by making him an injury replacement for Yao Ming. But that said, it astonished me that the coaches did not recognize the kind of season that he's had. I certainly would have selected Carmelo Anthony over Allen Iverson, and just as I would have selected Josh Howard over Tony Parker. I'm not. Sometimes in these cases, the coaches, I'm not sure that they fill out the ballots. Sometimes it's an assistant coach, or maybe it's their secretary. So maybe that was the reason. But in any case, it was a glaring oversight, and it's good that David Stern has corrected it.
I hope they signed something at the bottom attesting and promising that it's them themselves that did the voting. Let's shift to a couple teams we haven't talked much about, starting with the Cavaliers. They beat the Lakers yesterday, and a guy named Sasha Pavlovic, who was averaging, I think, under 5 points a game until the last seven games, took over the game.
Yeah, I've been watching Sasha for a while. He's one of those guys like Jason Capono in Miami who's had trouble getting on the floor because he's not much of a defender, but with the way the game's being played now and the emphasis on offense, he's always been a great shooter, as is Capono, and there's becoming a greater need and necessity to have those guys. And his up and down season is also a reflection of the problems in Cleveland, in that the coach, Mike Brown, believes that they're only going to win based on their defense. He wants to play guys according to how they play defense. He wants the focus of the energy to be at the defensive end. He wants the game played slowly because that benefits your defense. And the players, by and large, have a different opinion. They feel that, hey, we need to play up and down. We need to play faster. And so until they get that worked out, the Cavaliers are not going to meet expectation. And one of the things that made them so lethal in the playoffs last year was when they just sort of spread the court, they put the ball in LeBron James's hand, they had him penetrate, and if he couldn't get to the cup, he was kicking it out to guys like Pavlovic and Danielle Marshall and some of the other long-range shooters that they have, and it worked. It had the Detroit Pistons on the ropes. This year, they've gone back to a different offensive system. It's a little more structured, and it has had mixed results. And the biggest issue that any coach or team ever faces is when the players don't believe in the system that you're trying to get done. That is number one. That whatever it is, it does. Everybody knows the same X's and O's. The biggest challenge a coach has is in getting his team to believe in it and put their energy into making it work. And when you don't have that, you are always going to struggle.
Talking with Rick Bucher from the NBA's coverage through ESPN, and Cavaliers 30-22. The Pistons 31-18 and 10-3 since Chris Webber came back. It's taken a lot of pressure off Rasheed Wallace.
He has, and people forgot just because of the travails in Philadelphia, what a good player Chris Webber is. And he's also, in going to Detroit, goes to the perfect situation because guys like Rasheed Wallace and Tayshaun Prince do a great job of taking protecting him defensively, which allows you to keep him on the floor and take advantage of his offensive talents. He's also a very unselfish player, so I never had any doubt that he would be able to fit in to their offense. He's a great facilitator. He's a great passer. And the other element here is that the Pistons, because of the development under Rick Carlisle when he was there and Larry Brown, have always been a dedicated man-to-man defensive team. And since Flip Saunders has been there, he was a guy who started using the zone in Minnesota. Guys were a little reluctant to pick it up in Detroit, but that is starting to show. And their zone defense is becoming a serious problem for a lot of teams.
In our last 20 seconds with Rick Bucher, Houston 16-7 without Yao, 16-11 with him. What's going to happen when he comes back?
That's a great question. Everybody thinks that they're just going to sail off into sunset and be great, but they've played two dramatically different styles, and making those styles mesh is always a challenge. And then it depends on what kind of conditioning he's in, because they were still able to play a fairly fast pace because he did such a great job of getting into shape and extending his endurance. All of that has been erased as a result of this injury. So I wouldn't count on them being terrific. If they stumble at least initially when he comes back, don't be surprised.
Rick Bucher, appreciate it, buddy. As always, we'll see you in a couple weeks, my man.
You got it.
Take care. Rick Bucher, covering the NBA for ESPN, covering it for Head Games Radio. We'll be right back. We're the Hall of Famer talking about winning and losing competitiveness on and off the field as a wide receiver, about the Super Bowl and more, with Steve Largent, former congressman and a winner in my book, on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? You like to control your own destiny. You do what you want to do, and you go where you want to go. Why not sit where you want to sit? Tickets Now has the choice seats for every major sports, concert, and theater event in North America. From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the seats you really want. With Tickets Now, buying tickets is easy, and each transaction is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to ticketsnow.com today, where the words sold out are not a part of our vocabulary. ticketsnow.com. That's ticketsnow.com. ticketsnow.com. ticketsnow.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEGAM loans. This is not a bi-weekly mortgage program or a debt roll-down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're approved for a brand new Dell or HP computer with no credit check, so you won't be turned down.
Call Guaranteed Consumer Funding today to have your brand new computer shipped right to you, and we'll include over $700 in premium upgrades and a free MP3 player. For a new computer and improved credit score, call 800-787-2816. 800-787-2816.
That's another stroke penalty, two-shot penalty for hitting yourself with a golf ball. And then it plopped down the bunker, buried again. He had to blast out fire, and he kept whistling. That would have been me. I would have taken that golf cart and thrown it into the lake.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome to Head Games with Steve Largent, former seven-year congressman, a man that I got to have fun stretching out there on the artificial turf of the Old Kingdom in Seattle about 3 hours before the games, and Steve and I would sit there, maybe go for a little jog, and then sit down and watch those 7 and 8 year olds playing peewee football. Do you remember that, Steve?
I do remember that, Nick. I can't believe you do.
You know, I want to start off by talking about faith and something that is rarely talked about on radio, but let's start off by talking about where you've gone in the last couple years, so close to winning the governorship of Oklahoma, and then weave back to some of those lessons that you learned in terms of competitiveness, in terms of faith, in terms of dealing with pressure on the field itself. What's happened with you, and how? Tell us what happened with the Oklahoma governor's race, knowing that, as I did, most people believe that you were going to win.
Well, yeah, and I thought so too, but I lost by 6,500 votes, which is less than a fraction of 1%. But nonetheless, it was. I still lost. You don't get to challenge that. At least I didn't challenge it, and I
like
moved
in
on.
Virginia.
What's that?
Not like in the Virginia Senate race.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a little different. But you know, it was serving in the political realm was never one of my goals. But I can tell you it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. It gave me a deeper love of my country and the founding documents that we have that our system depends upon. And it was truly a great pleasure and honor to serve in Congress. I ran for governor. I didn't win. But I would tell you, even still, that we have one of the greatest forms of government in this country, and I have an abiding love and respect for those founding documents and founding fathers.
And you're not even running for Congress now.
Nothing but good things to say. No, and
you're not even running for Congress, right?
No, I'm not running for anything. Just my life. But it was really a tremendous experience at the end of the day, and. You know, I hope that I served my country and my state and my district well, but I know that I gained a lot from that valuable experience.
Talking with Steve Largent, President and CEO of a national organization we'll talk about in a few minutes, and the competitiveness there where he has to represent all of the different interests in the phone industry, which thank God is one of the few industries where I think there is some true competition. But you're a Hall of Famer since 1995, 7 Pro Bowls, 6 career records as well. Wanted your comment on Tony Dungy and his belief that faith is so important to him, not only in what happened last year, but in the consistency and even the leadership he presents to his players.
Well, Tony Dungy
has, if you're a place kicker, if you're a head coach, if you're the quarterback, whatever position, you've got to create that sense of sanctuary. And if you can do it inside your head when thousands of people are screaming obscenities of you, then you've really got something.
Well, you do, and that's the true test. When it's critical, when it is a pressurized situation, how you can handle it. For me, the fact that I am a Christian and I rely on that to really help keep me focused and calm, I think that's important. But I think it's also a practice. You can practice it. You can improve, and you can, as the doctor was saying, you can make conscious decisions of how you're going to handle things.
Tony Dungy, and by the way, don't touch your dial. This is, yes, Sirius Satellite, where normally people expect to hear something coming out of Howard Stern, but we're talking about leadership and how you fuse values that are in a book with how you live your life as well. Tell me what that meant to you, listening to Tony Dungy.
Well, Tony actually came into the league the same year I did. He was drafted in 1976
really?
As a quarterback out of the University of Minnesota. Was on the Steelers that first couple years, and mm-hmm. So I've followed Tony's career for a long time, and we've become very good friends. And I just have nothing but the highest respect for him as a coach, as a player, as a coach, and as a person. And I think that the results that he had this year are nothing compared to the example that he set for me and for many others last year when he lost his son to suicide, and the way he coped with that. Tony was actually at the Super Bowl last year where the Seahawks played against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he spoke at the prayer breakfast the Saturday morning before the Sunday game. And I'll just never forget how big a deal that was. He had just lost his son maybe 6 weeks before that particular breakfast, and there he was at the Super Bowl, probably the last place that I would have wanted to be at that time. And he was speaking of his faith and how important that was to him, even in the face of the loss of his son. And I just thought it was a tremendous testimony that Tony gave. Not this year when he won the Super Bowl, but last year when he didn't even play in the game. And so he...
I think that's why they won this year.
You know, I think it is, too. I think, I don't know why you win a game or get into position to win, but I just have tremendous respect for Tony Dungy and the way he represents not just his faith but his football team and as a head coach in the NFL. It's not an easy job to have, and he just does a tremendous job.
Well, Steve Largent, Tony talked about how he was not that way in high school. He had a temper. He could lose it at different times. Tell me about how you look at that example and how that applies to your own life and your ability, first of all, in the NFL, to be the kind of go-to receiver that the quarterback knows on a third down when everybody's going to probably expect it even to come to you, that you're going to be where he needs you to be, because obviously that is what a coach wants, somebody who's dependable, who's consistent. How did you learn to apply those things in the game of football?
Well, I think that, number one, my faith... I think it did play a role in how I approached the game in terms of my preparation and that sort of thing, because I think that we have the highest motivation to meet as believers, and so my goal was always to be the best that I possibly could in every situation, whether that was as a football player, as a member of Congress, or leading this trade association that I do now, is just to be the best that I can be and do the best possible job, because I have a higher standard. And it's not just about how much money I make or the ability to make more money. It's about, the charge that's given to me as a believer to be the best that I can be in all situations and all circumstances. And it's not for my glory, but for God's glory. I believe that.
How did that help you, Steve, in the most intense situations, like a Tony Dungy, with all the spotlight on him last year after what happened, mm-hmm. and then this year again? How did that help you in terms of having a peace of mind? You know, I look at some of the athletes like Alex Rodriguez, who mentally I think is very tough for the most part, and who even has a wife who is a psychologist, at least is a counselor in the psychological area. And yet last year he didn't seem to have that. And I don't want, everybody's going through their own personal journeys in life, whether they believe in Jesus or whether they have a different religious faith. But, tell me about why it is that some people like yourself are able to take advantage of that and some are not.
That's a big question. I don't know that I can answer that one. I think we all bring a lot of baggage with us into any job that we have, whether it's professional football or the business world. I don't know that I can answer that question, but I know that, given my particular background, where I came from a home where my parents were divorced when I was six, my mom remarried, my stepfather was an alcoholic, and there was just a lot of problems that...
It's not like
really...
you had it all set up for you.
Yeah, right. It was perfect. But I think that both my faith played an important role in developing as a person, not as a player, but as a person. And then I think my ability to play football certainly gave me a lot of opportunities to do things that I would have never been able to do.
And finding what is, authentic to who you are is important as well. Maybe somebody can't be a Steve Largent, but they could be the best Marvin Harrison they can be. They can be the best, if you will, Terrell Owens. Let's start on the subject of the wide receiver position and why it is that so many wide receivers, unlike yourself, seem to need to promote themselves. What do you think that's about? Is that just because of free agency?
Well, I think the game has changed to some degree, and it's more the stuff that happens off the field that has changed. And I think it's due to the microscope that so many players find themselves under in professional sports today because of the media attention. There's so much more media and so much more media attention that you know, every wisecrack, every play, every possible move that a player makes can make the latest blog or news release or video clip, even if it's
but some of them also, Steve, also deliberately want and crave and will do anything. We'll do anything
absolutely.
To get that attention.
But, you know, there were guys like that in the league when we played as well. You know, you think about, what was the Thomas Henderson, the linebacker with the Cowboys
Hollywood.
For so long. But, you know, they clowned around and acted up to get attention. And it's no different today. There's a lot of players that are doing that. The difference is that there's just that many more times media attention to professional athletes today. And players are the same today that they were, other than, you know, the free agency.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I think it's changed that to some degree. But for the most part, you know, players are the same today. They're a little bigger, a little faster, a little stronger, but that's about it.
Let's get a quick comment from you on where you think the Seahawks are going. You know, your buddy Jim Zorn's involved there as well.
Yep.
Tell us about the Seahawks and how you see them right now.
Well, I really felt like that last year they made it to the Super Bowl. They played a game in Pittsburgh that I still say was affected the outcome by the officiating in that game. But, you know, they made it to the Super
I
Bowl.
Say it
and everybody
too.
What's that?
I say it too.
Yeah,
officiating did make a difference in that Super Bowl.
Anticipated that they would be back this year. I certainly did, particularly given the way the NFC looked this year. It just didn't look that strong, and it didn't turn out to be that strong. But the Seahawks battled injuries the entire year. They never played one game with all 11 starters on offense in the game, and I think that really hurt them at the end of the day.
I think that was one of the best coaching performances as well that you could win this. When we come back, Steve, let's talk about your definition of leadership and, of course, a little bit about being president and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association. You're listening to Head Games Radio. Our special guest, Hall of Famer Steve Largent, on leadership, faith, and getting it done under pressure and competitiveness off the field as well as on Sirius Channel 122 and Sports Byline. We'll be right back.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331. Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you considering bankruptcy? With the new bankruptcy laws, you may not qualify. There is another option. Call Financial Freedom of America for free information and learn how you can have your credit card bills reduced by up to 60%. You never have to pay back a penny of the debt that is settled for you. Let Financial Freedom of America show you how their proven debt reduction system can save you thousands or tens of thousands. They are experts at negotiating debt settlements and can wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. You need to have $10,000 or more in credit card debt to qualify for this program. Don't suffer from the burden and hardship of your overwhelming debts any longer. They'll do all the work for you. Call Financial Freedom of America today at 800-768-9617. That's 800-768-9617.
For your free consultation, call Financial Freedom of America now at 800-768-9617.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
Welcome back to Head Games. Coming up this week, NBC and HBO's Bob Costas, one of the more thoughtful people covering sports. We're going to have an interesting interview with former Denver Bronco and Kansas City Chiefs All-Pro and Super Bowl champion defensive lineman Neil Smith, who's now an owner in the Arena League in Kansas City's very popular franchise. PGA coverage with Gary McCord and Peter Costas of CBS. And we're working on a special exclusive interview with Wayne Gretzky, the great one. Before we finish, Steve Largent, I wanted to hear your comment on leadership. As Dick Vermeil says it is.
As a leader, you have to give a little bit more than you expect in return. And you have to do it unselfishly. You have to do it with great understanding and appreciation that it isn't going to be perfect. And the relationship may not always be equal in exchange. But as a leader, you've got to finish on top of that. And not let your ego get in the way, because you're going to have more real positive experience than you are negative ones.
That sounds a lot like Steve Largent. Steve, let's talk about what leadership means to you now in your position running the Wireless Association, an ultra-competitive business.
It is very competitive, but I would say that I would boil down leadership into three categories. One is personal character, the other is courage, and the third is leading by example. I think it takes a combination of all three of those elements to really be a leader. A great leader, you have to have the character, the fortitude, in order to be a leader that's respected by the people that you expect to follow you. I think you have to have a lot of courage to step forward to take a leadership role. And I think you have to lead by example. It's not enough to say, do as I say, not as I do. You have to lead by personal example as well. And I think those are the three elements that I've always tried to look at in teaching my kids and being an example is with character, courage, and leading by example.
We appreciate so much you joining us, my friend. And can we check in with you in a month or two and see how things are going, maybe get your comment on some of the things going on around the world of sport?
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Nick.
My best to your wife, Terry, and your kids. Tomorrow's show, Neil Smith. Talking about the Arena League. We're going to be checking in on the golf side as well. I want to thank Rick Bucher. I want to thank Luke Jensen and, of course, Steve Largent for participating on the show today. If you want to listen to some of the leadership premises, some of the advice on how to get your kids to learn those lessons, and, of course, the latest insight into why people are getting it done on and off the court and sometimes not getting it done, go to headgamesradio.com. That's www.headgamesradio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.